Couple of weeks ago, we got a Halloween card from some very dear friends of ours, and I'd like to read it to you. It goes, "All our love, Lady Caradwyn and Lord of Axion. Have a blessed Day of the Dead, Dia de las Muertes, All Souls Days, Hallows, Hallowmas, Samhain, Hallows Eve, Hallow Evening, whatever you want to call it. We hope it's blessed." And the reason I bring this up is because this holiday has 100 different names. And that's because it is so widespread, especially through Western Europe and even through the Americas. In Mexico, it's called El Día de los Muertos. In Cornwall, England, it's called Allentide. In Poland and the Slavic countries, it's called Jade. In Spain, it's called La Día de las Brujas, or Day of the Witches. In Wales, it's called Calangaioff. In Brittany, France, it's called Calangonop. On the Isle of Man, it's called Haptuna. In Ireland, it's called Samhain. And here in the U.S., it's Hallows or Hallows Eve. And in 835 A.D., the Catholic Church created All Hallowstide, which is a holiday of 3 days, which includes Halloween, All Souls Days on November 1st, and All Saints Day on November 2nd. So as you can see, it's widespread throughout our culture. Now, I'm sure you've asked yourselves at some point in time or other, well, why does Halloween start on the evening before the holiday rather than on the morning of it? Well, there's actually a good reason behind that, and it's very historical. And it's the fact that the Celtic day started at sunset rather than at sunrise as we're used to in the modern day and age. Same as the token year. The Celtic year would also start at Hallows. So Halloween or Samhain is actually the Celtic New Year. So it's something to think about. Now, Hallows itself is an interesting word. Is anyone here familiar with the word? Nope? Nope? Okay. Well, it's actually an old Scottish word that means to make holy. So Halloween is a Scottish name meaning the holy evening. And the name in Ireland is an even older one that can be traced back over 2,000 years, and it's called Samhain. It's not spelled that way, but that's the way they pronounce it. And there's some archaeological evidence to back this up. There's a Neolithic passage tomb called the Mound of Hostages on the Hill of Tara. It was built between 3350 and 2800 BC, and it is aligned with the Samhain sunrise. And Samhain is mentioned in some of the earliest Irish literature and has many important events in Irish mythology. And these begin or happen on Samhain. And it was a time in that country when the cattle were brought down from the summer pastures, when livestock were slaughtered for the winter, feasts were held at which the souls of the dead kin were beckoned to attend, and a place was set at the table for them. The older name Samhain, pronounced kind of like it sounds, Samhain, was the first and most important of the four quarter days in the medieval Gaelic calendar and was celebrated on October 1st through November 1st in Ireland, Scotland, the Isle of Man, and many other places. A kindred festival was also held at the time of the year by the Brittonic Celts called Calangaioff in Wales, Calangaway in Cornwall, and Calangon in Brittany, and it means the first day of winter. For the Celts, the day ended and began at sunset, and thus the festival began on the evening before November 1st by modern reckoning. Samhain, Calangaioff are mentioned in some of the earliest Irish and Welsh literature, and the names have been used by historians to refer to Celtic Halloween customs up to and including the 19th century, and are still the Gaelic and Welsh names for Halloween. Now this marked the end of the harvest season, and there are actually three Sabbaths that are associated with harvest, the first being Lammas in August, the second one being the fall equinox in September, and this being the last. Like Beltane or Calimai, it's seen as a liminal time when the boundary between the worlds is thinned. This meant that the city, the spirits or the fairies could more easily come into our world and were particularly active. Most scholars see the city as degraded versions of ancient gods, whose power remained active in people's minds even after they'd been officially replaced by later religious beliefs. The city were both respected and feared, with individuals often invoking the protection of God when approaching the dwellings of the city. At Samhain, it was believed that the city needed to be appeased to ensure that the people and their livestock survived the winter. Offerings of food and drink, or portions of the crops, were left outside for the city, and the souls of the dead were also said to revisit their homes seeking hospitality. Places were set at the dinner table and by the fire to welcome them. The belief that the souls of the dead returned home on one night of the year and must be appeased seems to have ancient origins and is found in many cultures throughout the world. In 19th century Ireland, candles would be lit and prayers formerly offered for the souls of the dead. After this eating, drinking, and games would begin and start off with the irregular party time for Halloween. In my particular faith, death is seen as a shedding of skin, much like how a snake sheds its skin. Death is a separation, but only on a physical level. We believe that our loved ones are always with us, whispering in our ear when we need to make a difficult decision, indirectly guiding us and removing obstacles that delay us as we make our way through life. And sometimes they can be really annoying, too. While the passage of one close to us is always painful, we don't shrink from the natural process of life. The wheel turns, and sometimes things must be let go. And death is just one of those things that I have yet to find anyone who's beat. I know Christ did it once, but he hasn't been around for a while, so I'm not too sure about that. We tend to see the world as a system that was set up from the beginning. And we are a part of the system, but not the rulers of it. It's fruitless to fight against the system, but instead to embrace it. We know that the wheel of the year will turn again, and those that have been lost will return to us. The form may change, but nothing will really be lost. We believe that we have many lives, but unlike Eastern philosophies, we believe we will always come back as the same species. I may be a white male in this lifetime, a black female in the next one, an Asian male in the one after that. Who knows? We also believe that we travel through these lifetimes in groups. Where'd Alex go? Disappeared on me. there he is. Okay. Well, Alex may have been my brother in a previous lifetime. Brian over here, my son. Reverend Dave may have been my great niece. You never can tell. But just some things that you can do at home to help honor the ancestors. And remember, you'd like to think that someone would do this for you as well. Prepare a Samhain dinner, including a place sitting at your table or nearby altar for the dead. Add an offering of each bit of beverage that is being consumed to a cup that is placed at the setting, and a bit of food of each the type that is served. Invite your ancestors and other deceased loved ones to come and dine with you. To have this as a Samhain dumb supper experience, dine in silence. After the feast, place the contents of the plate and cup outdoors someplace as an offering for the dead. Take some time and tell ancestor stories. Learn about your family history. I'm bad about that myself. There's so much I don't know about my family. Contact one or more older relatives and ask them to share memories of family members that are now dead. Record these remembrances in some way, and later write accounts of what they share. And give thanks for them. Share what you have learned and written with another family member or friend. Add names to those that you have learned about and wish to honor to your next ancestor's altar. Do an ancestor search. Get out on Ancestor.com or 23andMe or any other DNA genealogy sites that are out there, and see if you can discover ancestors you didn't know about. Who knows, you might get some surprises. Visit the cemetery. Visit in 10 grave sites of the loved ones that are at the cemetery. Call to mind and consider ways loved ones continue to live on within you. Place an offering there, such as fresh flowers, dried herbs, or a libation of water. Years ago, I went back to Iowa and visited my grandfather's gravesite. Now, you'd had to know my grandfather, but I left him 2 cigarettes and a can of beer. Reflect on you and your life over the past year. Review journals, planners, photographs, blogs, and other notations that you've created during the year. Consider how you have grown. Think of your accomplishments, your challenges, travels, learnings. Meditate and journal about your year and review your year. Take some time and renovate part of your house or your life. Examine it, reorganize it, release what is no longer needed, and create a better pattern. Celebrate renewal and transformation. And lastly, be a guide for the spirits. Place a white 7-day candle in the window to guide the dead to the spirit world. Light the candle and speak these words. O little flame that burns so bright, be a beacon on this night. Light the path for all the dead, that they may see now what's ahead. And lead them to the summer land, and shine until Pan takes their hand. And with your light, please bring them peace, that they may rest and sleep with ease. I'd like to finish with a short poem. Don't cry for me now that I have died. I'm still here. I'm by your side. My body's gone, but my soul is here. Please don't shed another tear. I'm still here. I'm all around. Only my body lies in the ground. I'm the snowflake that kisses your nose. I'm the frost that nips your toes. I'm the sun bringing you light. I'm the star shining so bright. I'm the rain refreshing the earth. I'm the laughter. I'm the mirth. I'm the bird up in the sky. I'm that cloud that's drifting by. I'm the thoughts inside your heart. While I'm still there, I can't be dead. Bright blessings, everyone.